Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We continue here. Sean and I will go to 10. Excuse me, we'll go to 12. The show normally begins at about 10:08. So we're right in line with the show, no matter if it's John and Lance or me and Lance. It's normally right around this time.
Something's never changed.
Yeah, there is a consistent individual, John and Lance, myself and Lance. And look, the show begins at about 10:08.
Yeah, we'll have to go back, check the tapes on when Lance was out, what, last week?
Yeah.
Two weeks ago?
When John and I were doing the show.
Yeah, we'll have to review.
Because I could be the constant, certainly. But no matter what, right around 11:30, we'll be joined by not Lance, because he's done, but we'll be joined by Michael Carroll. Dose of Comicast will join us. He does that podcast with John Lee. You can hear it right here on ESPN 97.5. He'll join us to talk about what isn't as spectacular, at least when it comes to opening movies, as last week with Spider-Man. But you can still go watch that. We'll see if Michael has any other recommendations. So we'll get to that in the second hour of the show. We'll also give you another chance to win listener appreciation tickets. It'll be, once again, name a end of the show sounder. Pretty simple. Just says at least you know a little bit about this show. And if you're the winner, you get a chance to join us August 28th at the listener appreciation party. So we got a couple of things to get to. Sean, you had the pleasure of listening to the entirety of Nick Caserio with Rich Eisen. You got
combed through it.
You got to listen to our general manager offer some insight into the Texans, what they feel about the team, what they feel about their quarterback. He didn't offer much. No. That's kind of what he loves to do, not offer much. He also didn't give Rich Eisen a scoop, didn't tell Rich Eisen they were working on a Henry Toto deal. He could have been like, you know what, Rich, I know you're focused on the quarterback, but I got some cooking. You're going to hear about it soon.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Didn't even give him that.
No.
Because that's not who Nick is. So with your opportunity to listen, I'm going to say dealer's choice. We played a clip earlier today with Lance. It was a lot of Nick not giving Rich anything. Is there anything of the, I believe, six clips you grabbed that would provide any insight that our listeners could enjoy? Do you think?
Insight into CJ Stroud signing a new deal?
It could be anything. I don't think he would give anything away regarding CJ.
Yeah, no. Most of it was non-answers. This is my favorite non-answer because of how flagrantly he didn't answer this.
Is it the one you labeled ridiculous non-answer?
Yes.
About goals for CJ?
Yes.
Okay, let's...
I left the... This, it's like a over two-minute answer from Caserio, or close to a two-minute answer from Caserio. I will probably cut it off at some point, but I left the entire clip because I think it's so funny. Listen to Rich Eisen's question, and then listen to the... GM of the Houston Texans, Nick Caserio, how he answers this very direct question from Rich Eisen.
You don't raise banners there in Houston for making the second round of the playoffs, which, by the way, he has done every year of his career, which is rare for someone to come out of college to do something like that. And I understand there's markets and things of that nature. Do you need to see something more from him on the field to get to the number that you think everyone will be happy with.
Yeah, I think the reality is every player, I mean, they have to prove themselves every year. So I'd say overall, I mean, we're proud of the program that we've developed. You know, we feel like we got a pretty good foundation in place with a lot of really good people. You know, we have one of the best head coaches in the league. So we're proud of, I'd say, our program. We understand, like, look, in the end, everybody has the same goals and expectations that you want to be playing meaningful football late in the season. So our focus right now is on training camp and really getting ready for the start of the season, which we had a pretty big challenge here in front of us week one, you know, against Buffalo, who's been, you know, one of the best teams in the league. And I would say when you look around our division, I mean, honestly, I think our division is probably a little bit underrated. You know, nobody really talks about Jacksonville, but they won the division last year. They won 13 games. You know, I think Liam,
all right,
Tony Boselli and James.
I'm cutting it off before.
he would go on to list every team in the division and give a little bit of like a, you know, here's why they're underrated. The question is about what goals do you have for C.J. Stroud to get a deal done? And he goes, and the closest thing he comes is, well, every player needs to prove it on the field. And then he talks about how proud of the program he is. He says that a couple more times in the remaining, like, I don't know, 45 seconds of that clip.
Now I understand not putting numbers out because that gets pretty difficult if your quarterback doesn't reach those numbers as far as touchdowns, even wins, because you don't want to make that a quarterback stat. So I get not giving Rich Eisen specifics, but simply continue to show the leadership he's shown, help us win games, which he has done in the past. CJ's everything we want. We just want to see that, and
yeah,
we
take the next step. You know,
whatever.
And all the little things that that doesn't show up. Like you can, there's a million ways to answer this question in a way that I don't know. The question was about CJ Stroud. The answer, there's nothing individual. You could play that about anything or anybody. You could play what he answered for anything.
You could ask, what would you like to see from Derek Stingley?
Well, every player needs to prove it on the field.
It would fit. Does he mention C.J. Stroud
at
all?
No.
No, he doesn't mention him by name.
He gets farther away from C.J. Stroud the longer he talks.
He keeps going down the road.
At least he started with week one as a test. And then he goes, and the division, people are sleeping on this division. You see the team that Tony Boselli and James Gladstone are building in Jacksonville?
Okay.
People forget they won the division.
Sometimes you say things are a masterclass because you don't even know what he did until later. You listen to that and you know in the middle of it, okay, this is Nick not answering a question in a way that is pretty obvious. So
my jaw literally dropped when I like listened to it back again, because I really, what I did was I listened to the question and then I just kind of like scroll through until the end of the answer. And then I go back and listen to see like, was this good? Can I cut some parts of this? And listening to that question, I had to double check. I was like, did I grab the wrong, like, did I make a mistake here? Like, this does not seem like the answer to this question, but it was. Every player's got to prove it, Dal.
Thanks for that, Sean and Nick, for that.
What if we start talking
for
about
that insight?
Casario?
I don't want to. It's not fun. It's not fun for anyone.
Just filibuster.
He's got a job to do, and his job isn't to give away any information that he deems detrimental to his organization, and that's what he does. But as far as how they operate, we know how they operate. We talked about it yesterday. We talked about it late in the previous show this morning. Much to Lance's chagrin, they paid Henry Toto. Not a giant deal, but they have decided to take care of both inside linebackers this offseason. More proof that whatever standard you hit that they set for you, if you're one of their guys, they'll pay you. And CJ up to this point has not hit whatever metrics or standard for him they have set. And until that happens, this conversation about a potential deal for what we assume is their franchise quarterback will continue. And Nick Caserio will be evasive. Perhaps once the season begins, there won't be any more Rich Eisen appearances. Maybe he'll join Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
And we'll hear
that's more his speed.
And we'll hear something like this, but maybe Pat doesn't ask the question directly as Rich Eisen. and Nick won't have to do this winding road of not answering it. He can just move on and talk about whatever's going on in that insane studio at the time.
We did get some insight on the Texans and perhaps the inner workings of the Texans and Nick Caserio's opinions of that.
Nick, thanks for the time, man. I really appreciate it. Let's do this more often. I don't know. Is this your first time on the show?
I think it is, Rich. No, I really appreciate it. Yeah, okay, you talked to D'Amico. He's more interesting to talk to.
I do love him. He's great.
D'Amico's more interesting to listen to.
I would agree.
He's right. That's the most insight I got. That's the most direct he was about anything regarding the Texans.
Like, part of what Rich does, the national show, names matter. When you're selling what's coming up next, you want to sell names to get people to be interested. I don't think Nick is an add to the content of that show.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine just being like a, you know, anywhere in the nation listening to that segment and just being like, Nick Caserio's just talked for a minute and 45 seconds and said nothing. Was just saying, just saying things. We say a lot of people are just saying stuff at podiums.
It tends to happen a lot. But when they're saying
stuff, Nick Caserio is a different level.
They're actually saying stuff, whether I believe it to be true or not is one thing. Like, a coach will go up there and say something about a player I don't agree with. Oh, you're up there just saying stuff. Nick is just gobbledygooking his way through.
It's a filibuster.
Yeah.
It is like a political filibuster of, like, I want to make sure Rich Eisen only has time in this 20-minute segment to ask me 4 questions. That's my goal.
And he got it done.
I think it was a little bit more than 4, but he got close.
Shout out to Nick Caserio.
I'd love to know Rich's, like, unvarnished thoughts. Like, what'd you think when you asked him about goals for C.J. Stroud, and he just did not answer, but then didn't shut up either?
Perhaps Rich, you heard that Nick doesn't make, or maybe has never made an appearance on that show up until yesterday, so perhaps Rich was smitten with what Nick Caserio had to say. But he'll have to go back and listen and go, wait a minute. Did I get an answer to anything I asked?
It's one of those where it's like, you know, you leave with a smile and then you're like, wait, did he con me? Did I just get suckered?
Yeah. it's the radio version of checking your back pocket and then your wallet's gone.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Did he take my wallet? Yeah, Rich, he kind of took your wallet. Let's see if you have him on again. Next time, put the wallet in your front pocket.
Yeah.
So Nick doesn't get you again. All right.
Yeah. Normally we're like the GMs, like if they haven't spoken to the media, like they owe it to answer. I'm good. Like Nick Caserio could, like, for the rest of the time he's the GM of the Houston Texans, which who knows how long that is. Hopefully there's a couple good offensive linemen drafted in that time. I don't need to hear him ever speak ever again. I'm good. I can't imagine, like, actually having to, like, comb through those for, like, I only have to do it once, maybe twice a year. I have to listen to a full interview to get the questions out. I'm good. Next time I'm telling Joe, I'm not cutting.
You're putting your foot down.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
This is the best I can do. The best I can do is, like, listen to how he doesn't answer this question. There's two different ones where I was like, this is a non-answer about XYZ.
Analyzing what he doesn't say is the only way you get through a Nick Caserio sit down interview or presser.
In a weird way, him being so evasive only leads us to psychoanalyze him more. if he gave, like, league average insights on his own team, like whatever the most, like, middle of the road GM answer is, I think we would talk about it less than the fact he's so evasive.
He could have just said, we're having, as far as CJ's concerned, but with the contract, we're having positive conversations. We're working towards a deal. We hope to get something done soon. That doesn't really give me a timeline, but it's a direct answer to a question. And we wouldn't be doing this segment because at least he was succinct in his non-answer. But instead, the magician was at work again.
It's a notable non-answer.
Yes, as opposed to what he's on.
Dag Nick.
What did we talk about yesterday with that? I think we're doing it off the air.
It was off the air.
Something we did. I can't mention that.
No, that one.
That's not safe. It was about a football game and how we would program it. Yeah. It isn't anything that would be marketable except for people with our line of thinking. It's just not safe, so it would never get done. Nick Caserio's safe. And that's all you'll get from him when it comes to trying to figure out what is going on with the Texans. And that's, I guess, kind of his job, other than putting good football players on the team, which he has done quite a bit of, at least on the defensive side of the ball. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll actually talk about real football. Look, we joked about what was going to go down in that Hall of Fame game. You know what? The quarterback play, pretty good. Pretty good. Now, did we watch all four quarters? We'll talk about that when we come back. And let's say 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock is when you have your opportunity to get those listener appreciation tickets. It'll be caller 5 at 11 o'clock. So we had a caller in the previous show talk about how it's great to know when to call in because it gives streamers a chance to get in on a prize. Anthony won yesterday. With that, we'll give everyone a shot. 11 o'clock, caller 5. That's when you get a chance to get to the listener appreciation party. All right, we'll go to break. We will be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Alalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Alalea.
Is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson the first guy since D'Amico Ryans took over to have a bad word to say about his time with the Texans?
Steven Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Milk Dud.
Well, he wasn't getting paid. Oh, yeah. He did call him Milk Dud. I forgot about that. That's true.
I'm sorry my brain works like that.
No,
yeah.
No. It's a good shout.
Two DBs.
Steven Nelson did call D'Amico Ryans Milk Dud. I forgot why he got to that. I know why he called him Milk Dud. It's not a clever thing to say. You have a black man with a bald head. You call him Milk Dud. But was it a money thing?
I forgot. I don't remember. I remember Steven Nelson being a good Houston Tech. Like, if you asked me, like,
at that time,
yeah, it's like he was good his season or two that he was a Texan. Whatever. They didn't bring him back probably because they drafted Derek Stingley. And
he was getting a bit older.
Yeah, yeah. And on his way out, or at, I think there's, maybe it was even like before he got cut. I think he might have been on the Texans.
This was May 18th, 2024.
Yeah.
And he used his Instagram and posted a tweet. We need local sports teams to send relief to Houston residents. People are without power and food. Hashtag Texans. Hashtag Rocket stand up. And then he used his Instagram
message.
Story.
That's a good message.
From the Corner Suite pod. Don't know if they still exist.
Oh, I think that's his. His
pod.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he used that tweet to go into his Instagram stories and go, let's go, Milk Dud, man. It's your time to shine. Damn all that meathead persona time to get hands dirty for the city. Seemed out of nowhere.
It definitely felt out of nowhere at the time.
He also, remember, said, can't trust an MF that wears these for every day of the week, clown freak. And it was a shot at Nick Caserio, and the picture was of a vest.
Yeah, clown freak. I forgot about clown freak.
Yeah, so.
I hate how much this
makes you laugh.
Yeah, it's so funny.
So, yes, there it is. There has been a previous Houston Texan to take a shot at the organization in the D'Amico Ryans era. If you don't remember, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson earlier this offseason said he was disrespected by one of, I guess, Casario's friends who was at practice. I think that's what he said happened. And then he also again yesterday said when he was talking with the Philly media, in fact, we have the sound. So we'll play it here, and then we'll get into what happened in the Hall of Fame game. So this is yesterday. He was back at practice because he was hurt earlier in the offseason, but he's back, and a reporter asked him, by the way, he's a Bill now. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is with the Bills. He was asked about Houston because that is the first game.
I'm glad you asked about that Texas show. You got me pissed now.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate you.
Is that a good thing?
That's a great thing.
Okay, what happened? You said there were lies, like the way things ended.
Y'all still ain't got no confirmed real story from what really happened. Let's talk about that.
You want to talk about it?
I'm like, well, where's the real story? What did I really do?
They released you in September after you had, I think, a leg injury in August, right?
They released me because I wasn't gelling with the team and I didn't fit well. Well, why the hell the coach spoke up about it?
On the field or off the field, they say you didn't fit well.
After the loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, I didn't fit well. And we was already starting 0-3, so how can it possibly be on one person?
So now you're going to be fired up week one. I'm feeling it.
Nah, Josh handled it up and the defense handled it up, so we'll do what we got to do. I mean, it's a good team. I'm not putting nothing past them. It's just the situation, that how they handled me, and it just wasn't respectful. So as a grown man, I feel like when you see me, you see me.
I don't know if he knows better, although he's been I won't say tossed aside, released by other organizations, traded. Hell, the Eagles had him twice. You're like, ah, we're good here. Generally, coaches don't reference guys they release in a way that explains why they're released, particularly if it's reporting about, as he's talked about, not gelling with the team. Or that's not how coaches operate. They're not going to say, yeah, Chauncey's gone because he was a bad influence. That stuff gets filtered through media. That comes from an insider, but the coach ain't going to address you that way. Why would you want him to come out in a presser and go, yeah, Chauncey blew coverages all the time and actually was bad in the locker room? Why would you want that?
Yeah, it would be so much worse if they're honest.
If a highly respected coach came out and said, yeah, not only was he freelancing, which is actually what was the reason that was said why he had to go, at least publicly, he also just was terrible in the locker room. He questioned everything, never got along with his teammates, didn't pull in the right direction. Does he want a presser that completely eviscerates him in his time here? I don't think he does.
Yeah. Hi, I'm D'Amico Ryans, the guy who's basically only ever had awesome defenses as a NFL head coach or defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Here's why Chauncey Gardner-Johnson didn't work for me. Here are the on-the-record reasons.
Whatever the reasons are, you're better off, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, that D'Amico Ryans doesn't say exactly why you're not here. He's going to win that PR battle.
Yeah. You know the guy that's been on five teams in his NFL career, including two stops at one spot?
The Eagles won a Super Bowl with you and said enough.
Five teams have decided that you aren't, or five different times since 2019, a team has had you and been like, we're good.
I just want to point out to him that you were traded for a draft bust. You became a Texan because they traded Kenyon Green for you.
Yeah.
Perhaps don't poke this bear. Not that D'Amico's ever going to do what he's saying, but this is not a win for you.
Also, I love it when someone goes like he does here, like, you guys haven't heard the whole story, and then the B report is like, do you want to tell your side of the story? He's like, not really.
No.
Nah, why get into it? You guys do the digging. Well, you're right here. We can...
Who's a better source than you?
Yeah, like, do you want more people talking off the record about you, or you'd say how you're done wrong?
Once again, somebody out there just saying stuff.
Yeah. Hey, but they started 0-3, though, and they pinned it all on him.
Hey, you know, when you left, what was their record?
10-4.
What was their record when you were gone? How many games did they win when you left?
They just
another reason, another point that kind of says he's not thinking this through.
Yeah.
They got a lot better once you were out the door. Don't use the 0-3 start as a reason to suggest you weren't the problem, because things seem to pick up once you left. I mean, it's not so, you can't win this one, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
It's a tough one. But, hey, when you see him, you see him.
And we will see him if he's healthy enough that first Sunday of the season. All right. As far as actual football, we had the preseason opener. Kenny Pickett versus Carson Beck. They actually both played pretty well from what I saw in the highlights. I think I saw Carson Beck's second drive where he tossed a touchdown on a fader out to the corner of the end zone. So he had his moments. Good for him in his, not his actual debut, but as far as wearing a Cardinal uniform and in a competitive atmosphere, he looked good. good quarterback play all around, even down to Haynes King, who led a game-winning drive. So it wasn't the slop fest I expected from a preseason game, even when you're getting down to the lower levels of the roster with the quarterbacks and the guys around them. So if you could get a walk-off touchdown run from Haynes King to open up the year, that's pretty good. I will admit, I did not see it live. I had other things to do than to watch with bated breath as Mike Tirico made the call of the touchdown. But I did see the highlight, and it's the Haynes King I remember.
It's such a Haynes King final drive.
Yeah, yeah. He just scrambling around, keeping things alive. And when it came down to it, Haynes King wasn't going to make a throw to win the game.
No.
He was going to use his legs, and he got it done. So nice start to his pro career, however long it may be. So as far as college players we've heard of, the quarterbacks played pretty well. Carson Beck on the Cardinals side, and then Kenny Pickett and Haynes King.
Yeah, no thoughts on Keaton Slovis. Sorry.
He wasn't poor either, but
I just have no thoughts.
I have no thoughts on Keaton Slovis.
I saw a little of Beck, I saw a little of Pickett, and then the drive.
That's what it'll be called in Carolina. Look, Dave Canales was happy. It is fun to see the teammates who weren't playing at all.
They swarmed
him. Swarming a guy on the team. So when the guy's wearing your uniform, he's out there with you and he leads the drive, go out there and congratulate him. So I heard, I think, Mike Tirico, when I watched the highlight after, he was like, something along the lines, it's going to be a happy night for Carolina. It's like, probably. And that everyone will move on pretty quickly.
Yeah, but Arizona, probably still fine, mostly.
maybe there's a defender or two who may have some rough defense. Film to watch or something. But other than that, I think everyone got out of there pretty happy, as long as there weren't any major injuries, which I don't remember seeing any reports on. So that was the opener, which you could have watched because there's no Astros. They're back in action tonight. They've got the Padres. They go to San Diego for that series. A San Diego team was playing pretty good baseball now, and they will see, at least the Astros will see, Robbie Ray, the Padres' deadline acquisition. So Robbie Ray, who the Astros were reported to be in on a little bit, but the cost was a little bit too much for what they were willing to hand out. Arrighetti for a VAR show, we're good. Apparently the Padres were asking for a little bit more than Arrighetti, who was injured at the time and is now injured again.
I saw that.
Yeah, he got hurt immediately when he was active for Toronto. So that's unfortunate for Arrighetti. But it'll be Ronel Blanco on the mound tonight for the Astros. Ronel had a couple starts. Middling results, you'd say. The ERA is much higher than you'd like. I don't expect much. But we'll see. We'll see. And they're coming off a series loss to the Blue Jays, so you'd like to get back on track. But Ronel Blanco, since he's been back in action, has a couple of starts where he didn't go more than 4 2/3. He's given up at least 3 earned runs in each start. I don't know that he's long for the rotation. If with Wisniewski and Lambert and Brown, who's and Javier, if Ronel Blanco keeps it up, I would not be surprised if Imai finds his way back in their rotation right now. But as it stands, it'll be Blanco who needs a good start as the Astros are trying to keep their distance, keep batting the Rangers aside as the Rangers are a game and a half back. In Seattle loss, they got blown out by the Tigers with, I believe, was Fromber on the mound yesterday for the Tigers? An 11-0 beatdown. Yeah, Fromber was really good. 7 innings of no run baseball for Fromber in their blowout win over the Mariners. So the Mariners, despite what one John Heyman thinks, 3.5 games back. And if you don't know, he said the Astros didn't do enough because he thought the Mariners would eventually get it together. And what does Lance think about Heyman's opinions, Sean?
Oh, I don't have it on my page.
I thought you were looking at it.
No.
Well, if you don't know, the famous "Shut up, you stupid ass! Shut up, you dummy!" That sounder is from Lance disagreeing with one of Heyman's opinions from earlier in the year.
Stupid dummy!
Shut up, you ass! Shut up, you dummy! I think it might even be stupid ass. I forgot exactly what it is, but either way, That is not a sounder that closes out our show. So no. Don't pick that one at 11 o'clock if you're caller 5 when you're trying to win tickets to the listener appreciation party. All right, we'll go to break with that. Sean put a clip on there that I have seen the caption for. I have just refused to listen to, but we'll listen to it if you guys haven't heard it. We'll listen to it for the first time together. The Purdue AD. Purdue came up this morning because of Drew Brees. This is a little different. The new Purdue AD says some things that makes you think, did Purdue make the right choice? We'll hear from him when we come back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Purdue's athletic director is Tommy McClelland. Normally, we wouldn't play sound from the AD of a also-ran Big Ten school in football. They're a good basketball program. Shout out to Matt Painter. But this one made its way to any sports outlet that you could imagine. Everyone's had a thought on this. So Tommy McClelland, who rightfully so, because he's the Purdue AD, took a shot at Indiana. He has some things that caught some people's eye. Here is part of his introductory presser.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
Sean, now why would that particular jab, which you can say because Purdue is Indiana's rival, not just in the Big Ten, but in the state of Indiana. Now, why would that particular jab not make a lot of sense?
Because some, I guess some sports fans would notice or remember that Indiana actually did win the college football Division I national championship.
Would you say that's perhaps the biggest championship in all of college sports, like as far as prestige and what people care about?
Yeah, as far as, yeah, prestige, what people care about, how many people watch,
yeah,
what makes the most money. What kind of defines you as a
program or as athletic program overall?
As an athletic director, some would say.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. I would say that is that seems counter
now,
to recent history.
Now Mr. McClelland is new on the job, but he hasn't been an AD before. Now this school that he's coming from isn't exactly a school that has a reputation of caring that much about sports. He was the AD at Rice. So perhaps because you're the AD at Rice, you stop focusing on sports as much as you would someplace else, because the school's mission, it appears at times, is to lessen the importance of athletics.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe Tommy McClelland checked out of the football season and was was just unaware.
Like it's the final season of The Bear and me, where I'm like, still haven't gotten around to that.
Maybe.
I need to watch the end of The Bear.
Maybe.
The college football playoff is on my watch list. I do not know what happened. And, I'll get to that this weekend. I'll definitely get to that this weekend.
Maybe he had a nagging thought he couldn't quite place, that something he missed out on in 2025 going into 2026.
Championships in Indiana.
You know what? Maybe
something
he was so focused on getting his next job, he couldn't pay attention to other things.
Too busy interviewing.
Yeah, to know.
I will say, for athletic directors, like we do, obviously you and I and most people, like really kind of define athletic programs through their college football program. And
sure.
He is the athletic director, so he has to care about all however many, 15, 20 varsity sports that they play at Purdue. And I was like, maybe they're just one of those programs that wins a lot of, fencing or Olympic sport championships. And so, like, yes, to him, it is just one national championship that Indiana won. To us, it's The football one?
Do you know how many national championships Purdue has won in team sports?
Yeah. Is it five?
You wish.
Okay.
With under the NCAA, once that became an entity, Purdue has won three team titles in their history.
I would say when you start with since the NCAA became an entity.
Because there's a pre-NCAA title in there.
When you start with that, it's like, oh, this is not going to be a high number.
Yeah. Now, they have won plenty of Big Ten titles. They like, as I said, a good basketball program. Yeah.
And he did say championships. He didn't say national championships.
But for a lot of people, when they hear championship, particularly at a big school in the Big Ten, they think the highest level.
Especially when you mention Indiana, who
just won as we laid out,
football national champion and the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, yes. So maybe he's only concerned about the Big Ten. They did win that too.
They did win that as well.
If this was soccer, you would say Indiana won the double.
They did win yes, very much. If there was a treble to it, I guess they technically were the regular season champions too, but we don't really do that in football. But yeah, Purdue hasn't beaten basketball over the last 20 years.
It's true. Yeah. Purdue has elevated themselves to a 25. Point where they're always a dark horse at times to win a national title.
Where the Elite Eight last year.
Where Indiana went through my team, certainly, in the second round. Indiana not at that level. So no. Purdue has that, but
boom, basketball school.
But the three titles, team titles they've won.
Well, isn't one from like the 30s?
Well,
or is that
that's a pre NCAA?
Okay, title. I was gonna say they have like a basketball one that's like
1932.
Stupid old. Yeah, pre-World War
II. NCAA tournament. Oh. So 1961 men's golf.
Okay, all right.
1999 women's basketball.
Okay, hey, that's something.
2010, wait for it, women's golf.
Okay, golf school. Wow.
So, yes, now the golf titles,
it's two
generations and, apart, two and, multiple generations.
What, 50 years.
But. 61 and 2010, but they will, so bookended golf titles, one in 61, one in 2010, and nothing since as far as team titles are concerned. So, once again, someone up there just saying stuff, but I get it. You're going after Indiana. You're trying to ingratiate yourself with the people at Purdue by attacking Indiana.
He does need to take a shot at Indiana.
It's just the wrong time for it.
Yeah. Not the right shot. Not the right shot, wrong time.
Yes.
Other than that, great.
McClelland, time. If you had gotten the job in 2025, you know, yeah, Indiana made the playoff, but that's not a title. You could have taken a shot at them then.
Yeah.
Right now, you got to pack that particular quota up and wait. Particularly when your school doesn't win titles at all.
I can't believe that's so. I know that they are like a school. You know, like
a real school. You mean?
Yeah, they're not like a. You know, they're there to actually engineer. I think they're a good engineering school.
My impression to them is all they did was like make trains.
Yeah,
it's only because of the mascots.
Yeah, it's
a dumb joke.
I think I think they're also like an.
Yeah, they're an engineering school.
Like a astronaut school, maybe. But yeah, what else also is an astronaut school? Now they don't win that many national titles either, but they won definitely one more. Texas A&M also. Georgia Tech. You can do both. It is possible in theory.
Purdue just hasn't done it in a while.
No,
but maybe Mr. McClelland.
Well, women's golf, 2010.
It's still a while. We're still talking 16 years ago. But maybe Mr. McClelland will change things at Purdue, and they will start winning titles.
Hopefully.
I don't care either way, honestly. Hopefully. Not at all.
I also don't care, hopefully, for his sake.
Yeah, he has made a statement, and now his hires have to fulfill him.
Oh, I thought you meant he would, like, release a statement after.
No. You never apologize.
Yeah, like, oops. I'm looking for the Director's Cup standings because I want to know where they
rank. You combine all of Purdue sports and see where they rank.
Maybe they're higher than Indiana. I don't know. I have to do the research.
It doesn't matter if they could finish higher in Indiana than Indiana in all the other sports. When there's a college football national title for Indiana they are crowned in January of this year. You can't make that comment, at least not for anyone who has any knowledge of how sports have gone over the last year.
Did I skip over them? No, Purdue. Oh, no, actually, no. Indiana, 47. Purdue, 62. Dang it.
So even by you're trying to help him out.
I'm looking Texas number one, in case you're wondering.
I wasn't. But not surprised.
Do they win more national titles this year than Purdue in 100? Not that, you know, that's the measuring stick, but three national titles in...
Since 1961.
Is tough. Tough scene.
Look, Purdue shouldn't be believed to always be contending for things. It's not what you think of when it comes to Purdue. They're a great engineering school. But you can't say what you say when that's the record. Maybe he's like Mike McCarthy. When Mike McCarthy lied about looking up all the Cowboys games when he got the job, he lied to Jerry Jones about that. He admittedly said he admitted to lying about that. Perhaps McClellan didn't really look up Purdue's history, and that's why he said what he said. All right, we'll go to break. Hour one is done because we're up against it, and we got a break to get to. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. And a reminder, in about 5 minutes at 11 o'clock, you have your opportunity to win a spot for you and someone else to the listener appreciation party. Just be caller 5 and give Sean your favorite end of show sounder, and you're in. That party is August 28th at St. Arnold. Also, do want to remind you that today you can go to see Joe and Jeremy at Zamitti's Italian Restaurante in Kingwood as part of their summer circuit broadcast. And if you go there, sign up with the promo team, and you have a chance to win a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. We do events with Republic Boot Company quite a bit. They have great products in there, and if that's something that you think you'd like, head out there. Zamitti's Italian Restaurante is in Kingwood. So just sign up. You got a chance for a $500 gift certificate. Hang out with Jeremy and Joe. They'll be there from 3 to 6 doing their show. All right, we'll go to break.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.